Today we'd like to see the title of Asaph's Psalms in Psalms chapter 7, 8 up to 80. To the souls on this online read through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 7, 8, verse 4, will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strengths and His wonderful works that He has done. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 79, verses 5 and 6. How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like a fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. What do these mean in the context, and how can we apply these to our lives? Question 3, in chapter 80, verse 3. Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and you shall be saved. We shall be saved. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Asaph was a Levite and served as one of the leaders of King David's choir, 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 39. He is credited with writing Psalm 50 and Psalm 73 through 83. Asaph is noted for his musical talent and is also called a seer or prophet in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 30. The phrase "sons of Asaph" found in the passage, like 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 14, and Ezra 2:41, likely refers not just to his biological descendants, but to a group of singers or poets who followed him as their spiritual or artistic mentor. In the last time, in Psalm 77, verse 20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God's direction for Israelites on desert by Moses and Aaron is spoken in a very poetic, beautiful way. Chapter 78, verse 1. Chapter 78, basically, it is a review of Israel's history from the time of slavery in Egypt to David's reign in a poetic form, such as Stephen's preview of their history in Book of Acts chapter 7. When they followed after God, God blessed them. When they followed after the flesh and turned back from God, they experienced the punishment of God. Paul warned us not to lust after evil things and not to be idolaters, but to follow our Lord faithfully. Close reference right there. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Listen to Torah, which is literally taught. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Then most of our parts of our words were passed down by the word of mouth from generation to generation at that time, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4, question 1. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. To pass the truth of God unto the next generation is all our calling or our responsibility. If we Christians fail to do so, the nation is destined to decline. We can't let our children grow up in a godless society. It is important to somehow communicate God's truth to the next generation, whatever possible, communicate God's word. verse 5 through 7. For he established the testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Let their children know God's mighty works in Israel's history, and his laws from parents, and the perpetuation of the truth of God from generation to generation, in verse 6. And set their hope on him rather than on so many empty things, in verse 7. Then verse 8, and may not be like their fathers, the stubborn and rebellious generation, the generation that did not set its heart alight, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Unfaithful Israelites were affected by their fathers. The disaster came down to this generation, 9 to 10. The children of Ephraim, bring arms and carrying bows, turned back in the days of battle, carrying bows. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. Ephraim was a prominent tribe of the northern Israel. Joshua, Shemuel, or Jeroboam in Ephraim tribe. Judah tribe was a prominent tribe of the southern Judah. Because of David's faithful obedience, God ultimately chose Jerusalem to be the place for the temple of God rather than Shiloh in Ephraim Pashal. See verse 16. And for God, his works and his wonders that he had shown them, marvelous thing he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. They forgot God's wondrous work, not really impressed on them, so they did not pass on the truth to their children. 13, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters stand up like a hill. In the daytimes also he lighted them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like death. He also brought the streams out of rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. 17. God opened the springs as the rock was hit, and the waters gushed forth. Now 17. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. 17. They did not learn the truths in Israel's history from their parents, making the same mistakes as their parents. 18, and they tested God in their heart by asking for the fruit of their fancy. They tested God in their heart by asking God for a flesh desire, like whether or not God would punish them or reward them. Verse 19, yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They are asking bread and meat in the wilderness. Was it like they are asking God to prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give the bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Their demand caused God's wrath because they did not believe in God and did not trust in God's salvation from the slavery of Egypt. 23. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, fed the fowl like the sand of the sea. Nevertheless, God provided the wheat of heaven, or manna, and quails for day, above 2 cubits, 36 inches or 92 centimeters above the surface of the ground. 28. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp and around their dwellings, so they ate and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. 30. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in their mouths, they were so greedy. Be careful when God gives you your own desires, because our desires are often destructive to our spirits. 31. The wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. 33. Therefore their days he consumed in futility, and their years in fear. They wandered for 4 years until they died in the wilderness. So they spent their days in vanity and their years in trouble. Verse 34. When he slew them, then they sought to him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. God's judgment and punishment caused his people to turn to righteousness. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. 36-37. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. They flattered God and lied to God because they followed God with words, not with their heart, so their repentance was empty. 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. God's mercy endures forever because he was full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, did not destroy them, and abstained his anger many times. 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, the breath that passes away and does not come again. God knows that we are dust in our weakness of flesh. Desires destructive to our spirit. We were just the flesh. 41. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Over and over they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Even if we try to put limitation on God for by our unbelief or our manner of life, our God is free from our limitation or temptation of God because he is almighty, omnipotent, and omniscient. 42. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. They forgot God's power in their history. 43-48. When he worked his signs in Egypt, and he wanders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood, and their streams they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, and which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble, by sending angels of destruction among them. 43:48. God gave a plague to Egypt to save Israel from slavery of Egypt. 51:50. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague, and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength, in tents of Ham. All the firstborn in Egypt were slain, but the Israelites were spared. God put up the barriers by which God holds back those evil forces that would move in and take over, like God's putting a hedge around Job. So the death passes of Israelites when a people are evil. God likely removes the barriers and allows the evil angel to come among them to cause destruction. The tents of Ham refers to Noah's second son, who was the forefather of Egyptians and other Africans. 52. But he made his own people go forth like a sheep, and guide them in the wilderness like a plow. God destroyed the Egyptians, but God guided his people like a plow through the wilderness, and he led them. 53. And he led them on safely, so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. The fallen Egyptians were swallowed up by Red Sea. And he brought them to his holy border, the mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel to walk in their tents. 55. God brought them into the land promised to Abraham. So God fulfilled his promise and his word to them. 56. Yet they tasted and provoked the Most High God, did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithful like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. A deceitful bow is a bow that would break. During a period of judges, the tribes dwelt in their allotted parcels, but they turned against God and dealt unfaithfully with God, as if their fathers did. 58. For they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their carved image. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel. 60. So that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among them. The tabernacle of God was in Shiloh over Ephraim's tribe Passover from the time of Joshua and of Judges. But during David's time, it moved from Obed to the city of David in Jerusalem. See verse 9 to 10. It is a tragic thing when God leaves churches because of the loss of first love, like the church of Ephesus. The love of Jesus Christ is a predominant fact of the church, so that we shouldn't get perfect and so interested in ourselves. We are not reaching out in love to others. So God forsook the tabernacle in Shiloh, even as God is forsaken in many places of churches. Cross reference right there. 61. And delivered his strength into captivity, and his glory into the enemies of Ham. Here is Ephraim's strength. God gave them into captivity into enemies' hands. Northern Israelites, including Proven to be Ephraim, were carried away in captivity by Assyria. Dan 6:2-6:3, he also gave his people over the shore and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. The nation was wiped out, the young people were destroyed. Shakespeare, their priests fell by sword, and the widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord woke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine. And he beat back his enemies. He put them to a perpetual reproach. 6:7-6:8. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. The tabernacle was moved from Shiloh in the parcel of Ephraim to the Mount Zion in Jerusalem, because God refused to choose the tribe of Ephraim, but the Mount Zion. 71:72. From following the oaths that had a young, he brought him, the shepherd Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by skillfulness of his hands. God reminded David of his humble beginnings to keep the sheep as the youngest son of Jesse's sons. So God made David as a king to feed the Israelites as his people. Chapter 79 was a graphic picture about the destruction of Jerusalem. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance, your holy temple. They have defiled. You have laid Jerusalem in heaps. Babylonian armies came, and in 586 before Christ, completely destroyed Jerusalem city. The houses were just left, heaps of rubble. 2. The dead bodies of your servants, they have given as a food for the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your saints, to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those who are around us. How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will you, your jealousy burn like a fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. Why God's people were defeated by the wicked of Babylon. Habakkuk, the contemporary prophet of Jerusalem, also praised the wicked, devout person more righteous than he. Because, number one, all the leaders of priests and people transgressed more and more according to all the abomination of nations and defiled the house of the Lord, which God had consecrated in Jerusalem. Number two, God was jealous of other gods whom the people worshipped by flesh. Number three, God's judgment and punishment will be heavier to those who once knew God but rejected than those who never knew God. Number four, they violated the Sabbath on the land for 490 years against the word of the Lord. And so after 70 years, were completed at Babylon, God would visit them the good word and cause them to return to Israel. So God offered to use the heathen as his instruments to judge and punish his people. USA Today is in parallel condition to Israel, prior to its fall to Babylon. So we should learn the lesson of Israel's history in Scripture against its decline. Cross-reference right here. 7. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. They forsook the Lord, and thus the Lord forsook them. Do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us. For we have been brought to the very Lord. Help us, O God, over our salvation, for the glory of your name. And deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?" Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which have been shed. 11. Let the groaning of a prisoner come before you, according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die, those who escaped from the sword. He carried away in captivity to Babylon. In verse 6. More people were ejected than captive people. Tragic things are to see the desolation of Jerusalem because of the people's steadfast, stubborn resistance against God. 12. And return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom, their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever, will show forth your praise to all generations. Chapter 80, last chapter. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Cherubim are mighty angels, such as a guard law with a flaming sword at the Garden Eden. Tabernacle was a model of heavenly things. The top of the mercy seat in the most holy place was covered by two cherubim. The cherubim are around the throne of God. The cross reference right there. Verse 2, before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come and save us. Get camped together in the west side of the tabernacle. Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and you shall be saved. Restore us is written 3 times. This is verse 3, verse 7, restore us, and verse 19. Before restoration, we should repent or confess our sin, and then we can be restored to fellowship of the Lord. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears, and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a stripe to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 8. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. A parable is the nation of Israel, like a vine. Jesus used this figure, I am the true vine. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root and filled the land. The hill was covered with its shadow, the mighty cedars with its boughs. She went out to her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. The sea was a Mediterranean sea, while the river was a Euphrates leaf. Why have you broken down her hatches so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? Israel is no longer protected by God, but she has become prey to their enemies. The boar out of Uzzah uproots it. The wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine. Israel has been wasted and devoured. But Asaph asks, Lord, help us. And the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and branch that you made strong for yourself, it is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man, whom you made strong for yourself. It's the prayer for Messiah. It is interesting that today in Israel, they pray for Messiah. They realize that they face difficulties with the entire Israel people. And so that their only hope is for Messiah at the right hand of God. Book of Acts 7, 55. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. We covered all three questions. Let's sing all together. Manager song. Here's mission prayers again. So the recently we received a keep on prayer for continued ministry wherever our Lord leads, such as South Sudan, Ukraine, Haiti, Georgia, and so on. So keep on praying for all missionaries. May God bless you. Bye.